Tava, Perek Dalet. Shorei Ava, bonds of love. We're focusing on who we are. We've got to the point where we're trying to understand our relationship. Now that we know who we are, we're the Bishvilim Vroilam, we're the purpose of creation. We're the ones that are going to receive from Hashem. We're going to do and give to Hashem Kaviyachol in order to receive from Him, which enables Him to fulfill Kaviyachol the purpose of His creation. And we ended up saying that this is a partnership, it's a covenant, a bris, and it's a bris of love. It's based on giving. Giving gives love, giving creates love, love creates a desire for more giving. You have this ongoing upward spiral of giving and love.
So
and
why don't we feel it?
You really want to know? Do you want to know why? Because we don't think it. We don't think it. We're waiting. We've been well trained in Western philosophy, where everything's based on feeling. Feeling. You've got to feel it. It's got to be natural, whatever that means. You have to think it. The Torah says you've got to think it. The more you think it, and the more you understand it, and the more you know what's going on, you'll start feeling it. And the more
feeling
you do
like
it.
Feelings like I'm on the road, basically.
No. Feelings are the product of thoughts. You know very well. Everybody knows very well. That a situation happens, right? Your emotional reaction to that situation can change depending on your thoughts. Yeah? You get on the bus, and the bus driver, I mean, this is cognitive psychology, the whole basis of reframing the situation in order to re-emotionalize what happened. You get on the bus, you're holding 27 parcels, you just come out of Machane Yehuda, and the guy slams the door on you, and your food goes flying or whatever, and you blast, you blow up. You get really angry, and you scream at him, whatever, right? And then that's one way of dealing with it. You should have done that, what happened to me, whatever. So you sit down, you come home, you realize what happened, you write it, just while I get angry, what was I thinking, just as I got angry? He shouldn't have done it, it shouldn't happen to me, the idiot, why can't he look at what he's doing? So now in the moment of calmness, you can say, okay, how could I have looked at this? I could have looked at this by saying, guy never saw me, guy had a rough day, his wife just chewed him out, I don't know, maybe his best friend died, etc., etc. You realize that your anger gets lowered. You train yourself enough so that in the moment of the situation, you can get to a point, like a Rav Moshe Feinstein, where it happens so instinctively for him that someone slams a car door in your hand, you don't even scream because you don't want to embarrass him. You right? That's one enormously high expression of that. That's not even crowd emotion. That's become instinct. The desire not to hurt another person is so much a part of you that instinctively you won't even scream when your hand is crushed in the door. We're not even talking about that. That's the ideal manifestation, what we're talking about, but that's way out of love for us. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about just stop and think what's going on here. You come home and there's no supper. When you phone your wife and ask her, please have supper because you have an important meeting and etc. All the same shemaim, whatever, you've got a meeting with a valid stock and you get home and she's lying on the couch with your friend and nothing's been cooked, nothing's been bought, right? So now, what do you think? What you think is going to determine what your emotions are going to be. Yeah? You can think, Hashem, why didn't you make me supper? Interesting. Or you can say, that's ridiculous. I told this woman, can't she just, she doesn't love me, she doesn't care about me, da, da, da. And whatever you think is going to rattle out the emotions. We're in charge, the Jew is in charge of what he thinks. When you think the right thing, you'll feel the right thing. Why don't we feel in love with Hashem? Because we're not thinking the right thoughts. That's why we're trying to learn the Sefer. At least know what the right thoughts are that you're supposed to think. We are thinking thoughts, but we're thinking wrong thoughts. Torah Shkafa means, what do I think? So what you think has to be Torah think. So you have to first train yourself to think the right things, and then start thinking them, and doing them. It requires doing as well. It's not enough to think stalker. You can think stalker the whole day, you ain't going to become a bot stalker. You have to actually sometimes go out and give. But we have to learn how to think the right thoughts, and then think them.
Counter emotions sometimes cause thoughts.
I would just say no. No, that's because there are thoughts happening that you don't even recognize. There are thoughts happening sometimes so fast that we don't see the thought and it booms up emotion. That's called subconscious. Yeah, that's another sugya. I don't want to answer that question in front of that. Yeah, in Achinami. There's other things as well. There's the tears, there's underlying vested interest. I'm not simplifying human being down to just think emotion. I'm isolating that particular dynamic. The sugya is much more complex than that. Go look at the Chos in Yeshua. It's a wonderful map of the human psyche and the whole dynamic. and get a feel for what's going on. But yeah, that, I'm saying that's our fundamental, I believe, the fundamental problem in this Nukuda. Is why we don't feel this, is because we're not thinking it. It says, Bani Matem Lashem Lokecha. So I'm Hashem's son, right? Now why am I feeling that? Oh, because you haven't really thought it. No, I'm Bani Matem Lashem Lokecha. That's called thinking? That's not called thinking. We don't even have a definition of what thinking means. You know what thinking means by us? Having conversations in our head. That's our definition of thinking. Called agonizing. Really, we have these little two voices in our head and we have little arguments. Should I go or should not go? Okay, and then the little voice says, yeah, and then you go around to the other side and you answer yourself back. That's called thinking. A very low level of thinking. That's embarrassingly low level of thinking.
What's the higher level of thinking?
Have you ever said the Shion of Das? No, have you heard the Shion of Das?
No,
go listen to the Shion of Das. Come back and ask me the question. The amount of Hadama that I have to give you to answer your question is outside the scope of the Shion.
Okay.
And outside the scope of my levels of energy to give that Shion. He wasn't always able to give that Shion either. The amount of energy that Shion sucks out of you when you give it properly is not so posh. To give a share about a subject that is not capable of being described in words is a very challenging job. He was the first person that I am aware of that was able to actually say the share over in a way that you actually understand what he's saying using words, but the words are totally useless. It's a fascinating display of genius, that share. Reading is one thing. His next step was how he was going to write it. I was with him, we were learning a lot together at that stage when he actually worked out a way to actually write it. We didn't have anything in spite. Yeah. Yeah, I was with him a lot when he wrote Living Inspired. That was the next thing. To articulate it was one thing, to be able to write it was a whole new challenge for him. But the sharing, that share specifically, more than only sharing, was... Today, somebody can do it in his sleep, but in those days when he was just learning how to articulate that stuff, I know, when I give that share, when I make up my mind, I haven't done it for a long time, to give that share properly, it sucks every last ounce out of you. Because you're talking about something that has no words, and you really have to get into yourself. So, what is real thinking? Listen to the Shia. There he'll give you an idea of what's called real thinking, and then we'll discuss it here. Our thinking has to be at least as sophisticated as a computer's. Processing data. No, computers don't think, I know. I'm saying the way we process data has to be at least as sophisticated as a computer. Maybe not as fast, but certainly as sophisticated. Okay. Well, as I said, geography. Remind me to explain to you what that means. No, I'm just saying the amount of hadama that we need to go into this subject, to the clear definition of what thinking means, is so long and broad and deep that now is not the time. So many different thought processes and facilities and factors and where we get our data from, etc., 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 that it's beyond the scope of it. That's a series of classes. Moving to Bidashir Ashirim Rabba, Perig Zayin, Posuk Zayin, Perig Yud Beis, or Perig Zayin, Posuk Yud Beis, makes more sense. Melech Osu Berehitim. What does that mean? He's tied with. How did he translate this? Bound in tresses. Yeah, or su is bound, and rehitim is really the Hebrew word for furniture.
Right.
You just made aliyah, you know, the word rehitim, it's one of the first stores you go to, unless you go to a furnished apartment.
Yeah,
you go to the rehitim store, yeah. So the king is bound in tresses, in rope, strings, whatever it means. Ze melech malchem, alechom ha-kolosh bochu, b'ksivbeh, Hashem moloch, b'ois lovesh. This is talking about the King of Kings. Osu berehitim, sha'osa atzmoi b'shvur, he bound himself with an oath. Shu m'sharash chinose b'toch Yisrael, that he will shine his, I'm using the word m'sharash, shine, I don't know what it really means, but I have another translation for it now. He will radiate his shchina b'toch Yisrael. Chazalayim shakosh b'ocho osu b'koshes atzmoi aleinu. Chazal tell us that Kosh Baruch Hu tied and bound himself to us, kiviyachol, ba'avusos ava, with ropes of love. Yeah? Why don't we feel it? What does this mean? Hashem tied himself to me with ropes of love. Oh, I got it! Right! That's great! I'm in love with Hashem and he loves me and everything's great. And I can carry on just being superficial. Beautiful. That's not going to change you. Now you've got to take this and you've got to go. I once asked my mashgiach, what is Musa? How do you learn Musa? He says, you take one thing you're trying to understand, you go sit in the corner and you cry over it for a long, long time. Musa doesn't mean reading 27 pages of Maseilas Yesharim and saying, wow, that was really cool. Musa means taking a line like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tied himself to me with ropes of love. What does that mean? And spent the next 6 weeks trying to understand, half an hour a day, learning Musa, trying to understand what that means. Over and over with his lives, with emotion, look up the Mephoshim, go look at the Rashis, go look at the Sugya. Understand what this one line means. Can you imagine if you want to understand this line properly? You want to learn Bekiyas? Boni Matem Lashem Elokecha. Hashem says, you're my only child. What does that mean? Could I use that? Ava Rabba Avatanu, right? Every morning we say it in Davening, yeah? Ava Rabba Avatanu. Hashem loves us with a great love. Yeah? How long do we think about it? Ava Rabba Avatanu, Hashem, no, Shema. Fine, good. My head's already in the coffee. Yeah? Okay, so you can't do it in the morning while you're davening. Yeah? That's not the time for Musa, but at least Ava Rabba Avatanu, Hashem loves us with a great love. Why don't we feel it? You know why? Because you've never worked with it. You want feeling, you know? It's like, it doesn't work that way. You've got to take it and you've got to work this. Take the 48 ways. I'm happy to give a class on that. The Memchis Dvarim in the Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, are 48 tools, 49, 50 tools, depends how you cut them, for how to take something like Hashem loves me and make that real. Live your life knowing in every ounce of your being that Hashem loves you. How would your life look if you could get that clear? You live a different life, right? So that's what the main quest are. Well, Kinyan HaTorah. What's Kinyan HaTorah? So people think it means learning Torah. You want to learn Torah? This is what you need. No, it says Kinyan. It means making it yours. You become the owner of this piece of Torah. Which piece of Torah? Shas. Yeah, Shas, good. It's nice. I also want to finish Shas on a message. I just want to know this one line. Bani Matem L'Hashem L'Keichem. What do I do with this? Yeah, what do I do with that? So take this and spend 40 days, one day each day, working through one of the 48, one of the Memchis Dvarim. How do you do that? Well, L'Chadchila, you should learn the Memchis Dvarim and understand what they are and how to use them. But there's a shortcut, if you want, I'll give you a share one day. There's a thing called the Memchis Tools, the 48-way tools. I had a problem. I was teaching Memchis Dvarim and Aish had a problem. By the time you finish learning the Memchis Dvarim, it's like, hey, you know, it's one thing understanding them, but how do you use it properly? So Noach thought about this years ago, really. And he had a thing called the 48-way tools. Basically, it shows you how to use the 48-way. The more you understand about it, the better. I mean, the more you'll be able to use it. But even if you don't really understand it, just have a very brief definition of what the tool is to use it on a day-by-day basis. A week each tool, a month, whatever you want to do it, between Pesach and Shavuos. You should choose one thing you want to work on. And take it through the 48 ways. And now you're thinking. And now, by the time you get to Shavuos, if you've worked it through properly, that thing you were trying to internalize will be a lot more real for you, and you'll start feeling it. What would the world, it says Hashem loves me. If you imagine what the world would look like, my life would look like if I really knew that Hashem loved me, like I know that there's a table here. We're a different world, right? So why do we do it? Because, the Mishnah says these are the way you acquire Torah. I find, say, I'll get around to it one day. I've got them on my computer. The tools I've got, I'll just give them to you. You don't need to take for them. I hold. I mean, once again, this is my own personal thing. And even at Aisha, I used to have a fight with the Rebbein there, and then you're just hearing this, and it's a chaval. We don't do it yet. Actually, should start it again. You should spend half an hour a day listening to it, Mark's chapters on the 48 ways. Especially now because they've got a whole program, you can get them for free, and you can now download them for free.
Yeah.
For Rav Nach's Rufur, they want people to learn them and have in mind as a schus for Rav Nach, the Rufur. So other Rav, it's a great time to do it now. Now's a wonderful time to learn the 48 ways in his merit. You can download them for free now. It's a pleasure. Download them, put them on a disc, listen to them, whatever. Once again, my suggestion is like this. I'm going to have to give a whole share on this, but I believe in this so much you can't imagine. That's what I did for my own life. I've been from for many, many, many years before I got exposed to the 48 ways. I mean, that was like, that's big. Because the Memchis Dvarim in the Mishnah with the Mephoshim, it's very hard to use them. They're Gevaldik, but how do you actually take this and do something Lamaisa with it? Rav Nach done nothing else with his life. Just this, I would have held he was an Adam Godel just for that. This is a big man. But what you can do is take the list and see what jumps out at you. Everyone's drawn to different things. Ultimately, you have to go through them all.
Is that the sign of being Kohen Torah for?
Yeah.
Kohen Torah. That's what I'm talking about. Well, that's Kohen Torah. There's a pasuk that says, "Bonim Atem Hashem Lokechem." Is that Torah? It's Torah, right? It's the pasuk in Torah. Is that Torah? Yeah. Melech Osir Berehitim. That's a pasuk in Shirashim. Shirashim's Torah.
So you're saying use the 48 ways to.
To acquire Torah.
What do you mean to acquire?
What do I mean to acquire Torah? What does it mean to acquire anything? When you acquired your dira, what does that mean? It's me. I own this thing. I'm controllable. I can do what I want with it. I have total control. This is now mine. This piece of Torah, Bari Matem Rashem Akeichem, is not a pasuk in Torah sitting outside out there. If once I've internalized, I made a kinyan on this pasuk. The pasuk is now mine. I own Bari Matem Rashem Akeichem. It's real, I own it. It's my whole life is now governed with a new acquisition I have, Bonim Hashem Latem Elokeichem, or any other shtickle Torah in the world. Any other piece of Torah that I'm planning to internalize. There's a lot of Torah. I mean, just in this room alone, there is an enormous amount of Torah here, right? Enormous. I mean, there's the whole of Shas, there's the whole Rambam, there's the whole Kevus Meforshit. There's a lot of Torah in this room, right? Let's go downstairs to the library and sit in there. Then we really get clever, because there are a lot of books there, yeah? They're going to do anything for you? Nice for the atmosphere. Creates a nice atmosphere downstairs in the library, reading all those books. But the enormous amount of knowledge in that library, yeah, which has got nothing to do with me at all. You know why? Because I don't own it. It's outside of me. How do I get that inside and make it a part of me and own it? There's only one way. It's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It says, these are the Kinyan and HaTorah. This is the way you acquire Torah. I want to make a Kinyan on this thing, yeah? So this Hilchus Kinyan. You do Hadbor, you do whatever that means. No, I'm going to acquire this by meditating on it. Yeah, you know, I acquired this, I poured water over it. That's not one of the Kinyan our Torah. That's not how you acquire a tape recorder. You want to acquire a tape recorder, there's a lochus. You want to acquire a wife in Kedushin, there's a lochus. You want to acquire Torah, so then there's 48 tools that the Mishnah gives you. There's no nowhere else. The Mishnah is Torah itself. Where else are you going to find the tools? Those are the tools, they're the only tools. So you have to take those tools and use them. What's Torah? Torah means Shas! Yeah, okay, fine. Let's start with Shas. What is Shas? Ooh, I can only do one line at a time. How many lines at a time can you do? One! So let's start with the first one. Bani Matem Hashem Elokeichem. Or anything else. Yeah? Abba's Nezikim. It works for all of them. But Abba's Nezikim is a little harder for me to use them in place of what I'm doing internalized, right? I don't understand what it means. It's going to take 20 years before I really understood what that Mishnah means, right? I've been learning it for many years and I've read many Shem. I'm still not really sure what a Mazik and a Nezik is and what exactly the Chiyuvim in Grammar and Dinu Dagami, etc. So I'm going to have a hard time using them in place of right now, right? But Bani Matem Hashem Elokeichem, that's something that I would really like to internalize.
Huh?
Bonim, children. You are children to Hashem. You are Hashem's only child. Abba, Rabba, Vatana. Hashem loves you with a great love. Does that do anything for you? It's the last thing that I know floating around in my head. Do you own that?
Sounds like if two people have a belief in that, one that Hashem's asking the good and he's looking after you and he cares for you and loves for you, one person who believes in the capricious God, that massively has a massive effect on your life and your outlook, of course.
Right. So if I just believe it intellectually, but it's not really a part of me and it's not really part of my emotional being, and I'm not really functioning and living according to that, then that's an indication of how little it really is my acquisition. Right? It's a belief. I believe in God. Okay, so why did you govern this morning? Ah, yeah, good. Okay, so you see...
God's that good. He asked me that much.
So what I'm trying to say is, you can play with this if you want, but I'm trying to, if a person wants to acquire and own Torah to the point where it's going to change him, it's going to impact on his life, which is what Gil's question was. I'm still answering that question. That requires to use the Torah's own tools that the Torah gives you for acquiring Torah.
I'm just trying to understand the relationship between the 48 ways and the ways. The way that it's given over by Rav Noach is that it's more like has nothing to do with any piece of Torah. It has to do with
Rav Noach gave you the tools. You
have to be happy, use it.
Good. So I want to make it. Well, hold on 1 second. That's not acquiring Torah.
So you're saying you apply those to yourself.
Tachas shelo varetz Hashem Elokecha b'simcha. The truth label is a pasuk in Torah. The Beis HaMikdash got the stories we're in Golis today. One second, I'm going to show you. That's where we're getting to. Those are the tools. The 48 way of Kinyanei Torah, these are tools, these are methodologies for acquiring Torah. That's what the Mishnah says. Right? But Rav explains to you and gives you a broad overview of how those tools relate to you personally. Right? The next step is taking that 48 ways, extracting the Ikkar principle of it, and using that as a tool for acquiring Torah. Give an example. Let me see which example is a good one. Let's start with Shmesa Eisen. We should not have to translate as work through as Shmesa Eisen is talking the thing out. Speak it out. Oh, that's a Richas aside. Shmesa Eisen is define your terms. That's the second one, right? The first one is the Talmud, you need consistency. The second one is Talmud. Shmesa Eisen. It's a Shmesa Eisen. Richas aside means you've got to speak it out. It's not enough to go. That's the resource of answers. Speak it out, use emotional slivers. But Shmesa Eisen is define your terms, let's say, right? So now, do I really have a good definition of Bonim Atem Hashem? Okay, I want to acquire this possible. So the first of the 48 ways is set aside the Talmud, you've got to learn it. So set aside half an hour a day to learn this possible. Understand what it means. Look in the Mephoshim. Go look in all of Shas, where this possible gets discussed. Look in the books. Learn it. Talmud. Go learn the Sugya properly, like you would learn the Sugya of Abba Abbas, right? Gomma, Grammy, all the sugars, we don't want to be training, whatever, it's geschmack, it's wonderful, but impact on my life that much today, right? What am I telling Hashem, okay, if I understood that, that could really make a big difference in my life. If I really knew Daddy was, hey, you are, hoy, man, I could do big things if I knew that Hashem was on my side. You know? So I really want to, so you got to learn, that's the Talmud. Second one is, you actually have to swap them around, they're not mentioned this in the tools. You have to define what this means. So while you're learning, you're looking for a definition. Bonim, what's a bed? What does it mean, a son? What's in between a parent and a friend? What's the difference between an uncle? Bonim Atem, Lashem, who's Hashem, Elokeichem, etc. You learn it, you guys start defining your terms. Then ask yourself, how would my life look different? How would my life look different if I was living like this? Imagine how your life would look if you were living like this. Bevinas Halev. Go get in touch with yourself and ask yourself, what's blocking me from internalizing this? What's getting in my way? I have problems. Pilpul Chaveri. Go speak this out to your friends. Go ask your friends, what do you think this means? Dictu Chaveri, Pilpul Chachomin. Go ask a wise man. Go ask one of the Gedolei HaDor what Bonim Atem L'Hashem means to you. They're 48 tools. They're 48 words. I'll show you the tools. Remind me, I'll print them out for you. I'll give you a page. The Venus Halev, understanding the heart, which means know yourself. Get to know yourself. How does this resonate with me? What does it mean, Bonim Atem L'Hashem? Get inside yourself. I'm trying to internalize Bonim Atem L'Hashem. It's not going. Why aren't I the Simcha? Miot Simcha, Miot Sicha, they're all taken through the 48 ways. Now, you won't be able to extract these tools yourself. Right? So the block writes out of 48 one-liners of tools. You take it through and you spend one day meditating, taking this thing you try to internalize and playing it through the tools. It's life-altering. Makes it real. Our big problem is we believe a lot of stuff, we know a lot of stuff, okay, it was not real. That long journey from year to year, this also runs called the longest journey in the world, okay, the longest journey in the world. I know a lot of things in my head, and if you take them and you write them down, you realize that you're not living in accordance with what you know. There's a breakdown somewhere. I know a lot of stuff. Yeah, amazing stuff. But when I look at my life, it's miserable compared to what I know. So there's a breakdown there in communication. What's the breakdown from year to year? What you know in your head is not going to change the way you behave. Not consistently. Yeah, maybe for 2 minutes you'll get a new idea and you'll like really get excited. But 2 days later, it's another piece of things that we know that are not really changing us. You want to internalize it, you want to make a kinyan on it, you have to acquire it. So how do you acquire something? You have to invest. By the way, there's one Pirush I saw, it says, in the Mishnah tradition, it says, the Shleshi Kinyan of a wife, how you claim a woman. It doesn't mean how you buy her. Kinyan means invest. I mean, that's not pshat, it's drush. But invest. You want to invest in the Bonim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem. Something you want to invest in? That's a good investment, huh? Better than Lehman Brothers, I can tell you now. That's a good investment. Imagine if you invest in this and you really make a kinyan on this. Big. I'm not saying for you this possibly might not jump out at you. What I'm saying is just practically, is take the list of the 48 words. A few will pop out at you, right? Based on who you are and what your issues are, 5 or 6 will pop out at you. Start with those, you know, to go to Seder, and listen to them. Learn, take one even and learn it for you and go into it. And then start working on the 48 ways. The methodology I designed here is based on the following basic principle. If you want to know what the swara behind it is Bakias and Iyun. There's a thing called Iyun and a thing called Bakias. How do those two dynamics work? Because they're really the same side, different sides of the same coin. People think that Bakias is for you know, learning Torah for people who don't know how to think. And Iyun is for guys who really want to catch or whatever, and are never going to know anything really. You can't learn Bakias without Iyun, you can't learn without Bakias in its ideal state. Why not? Because it's like this. Let's say, I'll give you an example. Let's say you wanted to become the world leading expert in Tehillim. You want to write a Pirush on Tehillim. So how are you going to do that? You have to learn each capital Tehillim. You have to learn each capital Tehillim in depth, right? So you'll never finish. You'll probably get to capital Dalad, and by the time you're 943, right? Because it's an infinite depth. So what do? You take the first capital, and that's you. And you go into that with every depth that you possibly can. You cut it, you dissect it, you get into the rhyme, the rhythm, the structure. You understand every drop of ink, why it's like that, how it's like that, right? That's giving you a certain sensitivity to the depth and the wondrousness of how David HaMelech wrote to healing, right? But you're very limited because there's a whole bunch of stuff that he used that you haven't got access to yet. So then you start learning, but yes, you start going through to healing. So you're spending 1 month doing one capital, and you're doing 10 capitals a day, you know, in a Bekir's style fashion. What starts happening now is these two things start dancing together. The sensitivities you're developing in Eirim start affecting the way you learn in Bekir's. You suddenly start noticing things you didn't notice before. The information and the data and the new knowledge you're picking up in Bekir's, even though it's reasonably superficial, starts feeding back into the way you're learning this capital the Eirim. You now create new levels of sensitivity, which now spills over and bleeds into the way you're learning the Kiyas, and it feeds back, and they start dancing with each other like this. In general, it's what we call primary relationship and secondary relationship. Primary relationship is a husband and wife. All the other relationships are secondary. The relationship that you have with your children is a spillover from the relationship you have with your wife. The relationship you have with your Gemara, you're learning the Iyun. Okay, it's going to spill over and affect the way your relationship with the kids. I'm not talking about the beginning stages of learning where you're learning how to learn. You know, this doesn't really work so well at that stage because now you're just developing skills. You're not really learning. You're learning how to learn. At the tools growing level, I'm not talking about that. This breaks down a little bit. But once you get going, those you need, and that's why the Torah was set up in such a way that you spend a lot of time learning you and a lot of time learning the kids. You need both. One without the other just doesn't gel. There are times where you have to know. When you're learning how to learn, you might spend more time on the ear and more time on the kids. Well, that's a personality thing. And it's a technical thing depending on the skills you need to build. But that's essentially what you have to do. That in trying to make a kinyan on a little piece of Torah, one concept, I mean, basically what I'm describing as a Musa process, is taking one concept, one Hashem Latem Lakechom, Ava Rabba Vatanu, Vafter Hashem Lakechom. Imagine if you really love Hashem. It says, Vahaftes Hashem, Behold the Vafra, Behold Nashachol, Chomodecha. Imagine if you could internalize that. Imagine if you live with that, you'd be a kibbutz. You'd be a kibbutz sitting around waiting to be able to give his life up to Hashem. The Simcha, imagine if you could, you'd be really a kibbutz. On my little level, imagine really feeling an enormous warmth and love for Kosh Baruch on a day-to-day basis. I mean, life would be, that's how life's supposed to be, Rabbi Yisrael. We're supposed to be frum and miserable. We're supposed to live, I've got a Shem on my side. You know what that means? So my life would look different. Is it worth making an effort to acquire it? All right, that's, yeah.
Can you see
the 12th?